back on Downtown. Our next guest, the Dean of Sports Writers here in the state of Maine. He is the reigning Sports Writer of the Year. Will soon be inducted into the Maine Press Association Hall of Fame. And I'm pretty sure he's the only sports writer in Maine who knows the real story of the guy singing Tony Burrows. We're talking, of course, about Larry Mahoney. Larry, good afternoon.
Great to talk to you, Rich. Yeah, Tony Burrows, a session singer who had so many hits with so many different bands. That Love Grows Where My Rosemary Goes went to number 5 in the U.S., was the number 1 hit in the U.K., and that was with a group called Edison Lighthouse. He also had, he was with a group called Brotherhood of Man. United We Stand went to 10 in the U.K., 13 in the U.S., First Class Beach Baby, that went to 13 in, that went to number 13 in the UK, 4 in the US, and White Plains, My Baby Loves Love, My Baby Loves Love, and went to 13 in the US, 9 in the UK. And then, of course, the novelty hit, he was with a duo with a guy named Roger Greenaway with the Pipkins. Give me that ding, give me that, give me that ding. Number 6 in the UK, number 9 in the US.
The Tony Burrows story. I've tried to track him down. He's got a Facebook page, and I follow him there, but I've never been able to reach him to try to get him on the show. He's 82 years old.
Great. That'd be a great. Yeah, 82. Yeah, that'd be a great get. Yeah. There's so many performers like that that no one knows about that just were on so many hits, either as drummers or lead guitarists or singers, in Tony Burrows' case.
All right, I've got a little question for you because I know you love the music trivia. And this came up the other day. We were doing our Saturday night music show. You'll know this one right away. The only father-daughter duo to have a number one song in the pop era.
Frank and Nancy Sinatra.
There you go. 1967, Something Stupid.
Yeah. A cute little song. It was good. That's weird. The only one. The only father-daughter, because there have been many others. That's interesting.
Love talking music.
I enjoyed that song. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Number one for a month. And apparently it was Frank who really loved it. Nancy, I think, had brought it to Lee Hazelwood, and he's like, I don't know. And she said, my dad really wants to sing it. And Hazelwood said, it's a little incestual, isn't it? She said, oh, what's wrong with you? Come on now.
That's a good point. It is kind of, it's a nice song, but you're saying, it's father and daughter singing it. It's a little odd, but, it was a good little song. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Well, Larry, man, you are a force of nature. How many years now? Is it 50 or 51 at the Bangor Daily News?
I'll be beginning 52 next month.
Wow.
Yeah, 51, yeah. Yeah. Like I tell people, if you do the same thing and work for the same company for 51 years, they feel sorry for you and dream up an award for you.
I know better than that. You're just being humble. Well-deserved. You have been doing it for so long and so well. And in the story that I think Mike Dow did about you, he talked about the number of bylines you had in the paper in the last year. It was crazy. Was it 500-something?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, no, it's just... I've just been blessed in the beats. I've got great beats. I mean, I got Maine Football, which I get to hang with you and Bob once in a while. Women's soccer, went to the NCAA tournament last year for the first time. Women's field hockey, high school field hockey, high school girls soccer. Of course, then we go into UMaine hockey, men's. And I'm looking for a big year from them, and I also get to cover, Amy Vashon and the success she's had, with 3 NCAA tournament berths, in the Maine women's basketball program and high school girls basketball. I mean, the best high school basketball tournaments, Rich, you've been on for years. It's just special. But no, I've just been very blessed. I've got a lot of things to cover, and I enjoy them all. Try to do them to the best of my ability. I mean, it's the world we're living in now. There's Sam Canfield, who's been with us about a year, and myself. There's only 2 sports writers. We used to have a staff of like six sports writers. So it's just the nature of the beast. When the newspaper industry tanked, due to a variety of reasons, and now we're really hitting the internet hard and the website. It just became a situation where you have small staffs and you got people covering a lot of different things, editors editing a lot of different pieces of material. So you just try to do the best you can with it.
Now, you were an outstanding athlete right across the way here at Bangor High School. Played baseball for Bob Kelly. Played football. When did you know that you wanted to stay involved in sports in some capacity?
I always did. I mean, I'm from a sports-minded family. My two younger sisters are both in the Summersworth High School Sports Hall of Fame. My father was a great athlete, and my mother would have been. You know, there were no high school sports back when she was, but she and my dad used to have these races across the yard, and she was fast. She would have been an outstanding athlete. So, I really my father once ran the 100 in 10.3 seconds.
Wow!
And the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I ran the 50 in 10.3 seconds.
But I remember, Larry. You're a little bit older than me, not much. I mean, I remember you playing in high school, but I more remember, and this was probably 20 years ago now, but we had a little local media pickup baseball game, and I remember still what a sweet left-handed swing you have.
Yeah, it was, we had fun. That was a lot of fun. Ernie Clark, there were a bunch of us. We used to go over to Garland Street Field. We had a good time. It's funny. I'm not a natural left-handed hitter. I mean, my father wanted me to be a switch hitter, and so I was a right-handed hitter. So he turned me around to the left side, and I never went back to the right side. I tried from time to time, and Coach Kelly, one of the best coaches I ever played for, wonderful, wonderful man. He coached Legion one summer, and we're playing in the Lock Mills, and we're leading by 10 or 11 runs, and I begged him to let me hit right-handed, and I did against a lefty and struck out. So, I guess, but no, those are good times. And again, Billy Green was my high school teammate. And we were very fortunate to win a state championship his senior year, my junior year. And then we got to the state game my senior year and lost to a team that was pretty, pretty good during high school. Flaherty, Steve Conley, Gary Smith, that team was absolutely loaded, and maybe one of the best high school teams ever. So, I had a lot of fun at Bangor, and that compensated the fact that in my 3 years playing football, we won a total of 9 games. In fact, we were so bad by senior year, they used to play the national anthem after the game so we could get a head start fleeing our fans.
that was just Jerry Hodge setting the stage for those very successful teams of the mid 70s.
I remember seeing our schedule my senior year, and I said, Coach Hodge, I said, how come behind all these schools, when we go on the road, all these schools that we play on the road, they have HC in back of their names instead of HS for high school? He said, that stands for homecoming. We played at everyone's homecoming game my senior year.
We're talking with Larry Mahoney here on Downtown. Well, we're getting ready, as you mentioned, to kick off the fall season. Women's soccer at the University of Maine has already begun. It's very interesting times for University of Maine sports with all of the projects that are taking place. The Alfond Arena project well underway. Work on soccer and track facilities coming up soon. These are pretty heady times for the Black Bears.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the kindness and the generosity of the Harold Alfond Foundation, $170 million for facilities upgrades. I mean, there's no words to describe how the impact that has, and of course that's the type of person Harold Alfond was, and the university. I mean, I really, really like Jude Kelly, the new athletic director. I think he's got a vision for the future, knows how to go about it. I mean, Rich, you and I have talked, and the university for many years was kind of not very progressive. Was kind of sedentary, but this gift, and they've got some good coaches up there, good coaches that are getting things going. Ben Barr, of course, with hockey, and I really believe Chris Markwood will get them going in men's basketball. Amy Vachon, again, which she's been coach of the year 5 times in 7 seasons, so they've got a lot of positives going up there. Field hockey making the NCAA tournament for the first time in several years, 4 years ago, I believe. Soccer doing it last year, so there's a lot of positives going, and they need to keep it going, and these facilities really you know, kids nowadays love bells and whistles, as you know, Rich, and you, when you need to, when you bring them up to Maine, I mean, Orono's a tough place to recruit, let's face it. You know it, I know it. Not Orono, Maine, the rural setting of Orono, Maine, is not ideal for everybody. It's not for everybody. But if you can show them good facilities, you know, a positive culture, which is being developed and continues to be developed, I think it's, again, it's a good landing spot. It really is. And the people in Maine are staunch, love their sports, and they'll support them. I mean, I'd like to see football. It's not really a football area, and we've talked about this before. And I think if they can get things going and put together two or three good years, maybe get people out and get more people out. But, you know, obviously hockey, you know, they've got 500, 800 on the waiting list for season tickets. And, you know, because, again, Rich, hockey, there's only 64 Division I schools, so and 16 make the NCAA tournament. So you start the season with a 25% chance of making the NCAA tournament before they even drop the puck. But, again, what Amy's done with basketball, Josette Babineau with field hockey, and again, now Scott Athlete, women's soccer. So there's a lot of positives up here. And I think the Alphon gift really jump-started everything, and I think people are jumping on board, and the university is much more progressive now. They've got the leadership is seeing what can be accomplished, and you know what it does, and you know what it can do for the state and for the university. I mean, you know, how many kids go to Duke just to watch the basketball team? Mm. I mean, you hear about that, how students will pick Duke to go to Cameron Fieldhouse, whatever. And anything you can do to foster an uptake in enrollment is a positive. And sports is the one area you can. I remember Dale Lick, and the former president. Maine had played hockey at Michigan State. And we were waiting in the airport for our plane, and he told me, he said, you know, I would love to have one of the nation's best history departments. But he says, from an exposure standpoint, it's much more important for the University of Maine to have a great hockey program or to have something to go out and sell donors on the University of Maine. And no disrespect to their history department, but you know, sports is one way to really create interest in the school.
Well, and you mentioned football, and with all that's going on up there and the success that these other teams have had, I think this is a really crucial season for Jordan Stevens and the Black Bears. Everybody likes him. We know what he's trying to do.
Oh, yeah.
But ultimately, you've got to have those results on the field after 4 wins in 2 years.
Yeah, he's a first-class individual. Everyone's rooting for him. Now, again, this is a pivotal year because he's got most of his own players in here now. He retained two coordinators that weren't coordinators last year, but were at the university on the coaching staff. So between those two, now you've got some stability. You and I and the rest of the people following football are waiting to see what happens with the quarterback situation. The running backs, they've got some good running backs. They brought in a ton of secondary people to try to cut down what they've given up 107 plays of 20 or more yards the last 2 years. You can't give up big plays. Those are demoralizing. So, you know, and again, I think they're going to run the ball. They really want to run the ball now. And, of course, listening to you and Bob, that's one thing you guys are always harping on, which is true. I mean, you know, wear teams down. Get four or five yards on first down. Put yourself in a 3rd-and-2 instead of a 3rd-and-7. How many times have they been in third and seven or longer, Rich, the last 2 years? Way too many times, you know?
And hockey, I know, obviously, you lost a terrific player from last year, but tell us about the new guy that they brought in. Is it from Colgate that they've got such high hopes for?
Yeah, Ross Mitten, a 30-point scorer, was Colgate's leading scorer last year, and he's somebody, he was, I believe, one of their captains, and just a quality all three-zone player. You know, he can defend, you know, he'll be good defensively. You know, he's got leadership abilities, and you know, he can score. And no disrespect to Colgate, but he'll have better teammates around him this year. So that will help. And you look at Harrison Scott, he was at Bentley. In 2 years at Bentley, Rich, he had 12 goals, total 12 goals at Bentley. And they're in Atlantic Hockey, which is the worst league. And it's getting better. It's getting better because they've up there. I think they're at full complement of 18 scholarships. But for years, that league wasn't in the full complement. So he comes here and he scores 15 last year because he's around better players. I think there's an upside. I believe that the feeling is they're going to be deeper this year. Last year, the first year, Barr thought he only had two quality lines. Last year, he had three. He was spotting in the fourth. And this year, he feels he's has the potential to have four quality lines. And when you can roll four lines and three sets of defensemen out there, it's a very positive development just because your best players don't get worn down. And again, you can shorten your bench in at the end of the game if it's close and you want you need a goal. You play your top couple lines more prevalent. But I think it's really of course the upgrades to the Alphon. They said the lighting system's off the charts. It's a great new lighting system. So, and again, everything else going on with the building up there this year, hopefully be done in a year. So that's a real positive. And they've got the defending last two national champs coming to Alphon. You got Quinnipiac coming, won it 2 years ago. They're coming in November. And in January, the defending champ Denver is coming here for two. So an attractive schedule also.
And what a great story that just continues to develop this Cooper Flagg story, and now we learn that he'll be playing the Black Bears in his very first game as a member of Duke.
It's quite a story. I mean, he's a generational player. I don't know if any player will ever have. I mean, and you look back at some of the great main talent. You look at Cindy Blodgett and the impact she had. Do you remember going and the Alphon? They were playing at the Alphon then. They would pack the house when she was playing there. And then, of course, Mike Bordick, Billy Swift. I mean, who was a runner-up for the National League Cy Young 1 year. Billy Swift from South Portland. Of course, Mike Bordick, he's like me, a base kid, an Air Force kid, but grew up in Winterport. But Cooper Flagg is just, I mean, they're talking about him being the best player, maybe the best college player in the country, or one of the best college players in the country as a freshman, a kid from Newport, Maine. I mean, it's mind-boggling. It really is. And it's interesting that they're playing Maine right off the bat. So, I mean, that should be a lot of fun. It's too bad he wasn't wearing a UMaine jersey. I wrote a column about that, just a tongue-in-cheek column, knowing he would never come to Maine. But just think of what – I mean, can you imagine if he had come to Maine? Just come for 1 year, because you can transfer
right.
1 year at Maine. Transfer, you can go anywhere. You know, there's no – you don't have to sit out. You know, they put the rule in 4 years ago that you don't have to – you can go anywhere. I mean, you wouldn't be able to get a ticket to the Civic Center to see Maine play if Cooper Flagg was at Orono. But obviously, I just threw that out there, and knowing he wasn't going, and Duke was his first choice all along. So, I mean, you know, hopefully he'll have, and they're all saying, what, play 1 year, and then I think he only has to play 1 year, and then he can come out and go out in the NBA draft.
We had a huge buzz in my neighborhood a week or so ago because he was shooting a commercial in our neighborhood.
Yeah. I believe New Balance,
if
I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently, Rich, he's got a cousin that lives there.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
He has a cousin that lives on Poplar Street. So that's why he was there, because he was at Langle Gym the previous day, and that was blocked off. You know, you couldn't get – he was there for some reason, shooting or setting things up. They had camera crews there, and it was off-limits to the media. And then, of course, Friday was off-limits to the media also. Hopefully he'll stay healthy. And we'd still know where his brother Ace is going to go. So, I mean, you know, maybe he'll wind up here. You never know. But of course, Kelly, their mother, Kelly Bowman, was a very good basketball player for the women's program here. There's a lot going on, but that'll be interesting to see Duke and Maine and I think it's the opener, if I'm not mistaken, or it's early in the season.
Yeah, might be the first game. Absolutely. We're talking with Larry Mahoney here on Downtown. And, of course, today was the first day for high school athletes to get out and start doing their thing. You've been covering high school sports for a long, long time. How have high school sports changed in your tenure as a sports writer? What's been the most fundamental change?
Oh, God. I think the lack of participation, Rich. You know, I think, when you have teams, when you look at Waterville and Winslow and hockey, and I think they combined to win, over 30 state championships, and then all of a sudden they're having to join in a co-op program, and then you throw Gardner, and that they had three or four state championships. It's just sad to see the lack of kids playing sports nowadays. Now there are a lot of, I know there are a lot more options, a lot of things to do, and kids are specializing in one sport. But I'm so thankful for 8-man football because it's saving the sport in the state, and of course in some smaller towns, 8-person soccer, and some of it's enrollment too. Some of it is enrollment. You just not having the number of kids playing anymore, or number of not only just playing, but number of kids in schools. I mean, the numbers are down.
Right,
so,
right.
There's a lot of patching going on here to try to save programs, and the MPA has been very, to their credit, I mean, they've been very open-minded about co-op teams and. This hockey team in the area, that has come together, and the Penobscot Pioneers given girls from 7 different schools in the area an opportunity to play varsity hockey. I mean, that's the beauty of it. You know, they wouldn't have had the chance without a co-op situation. And a lot of your co-op teams. You know. A lot in hockey and in other sports also. So, it's just different now, Rich. It's just not what it used to be. I mean, the high school basketball tournaments have retained, their charm. But even there, I mean, you've got, even there it's changed. You see teams that used to be in Class A or in Class C now or B or C and, but that's still something we'll always enjoy.
But I think part of it too, Larry, is that for a long time, making your high school team, that was the ultimate goal. But now with the explosion of travel teams and AAU and other opportunities out there, sometimes in terms of the experience, the high school team is nice. But, hey, it's not like that time we went to Fresno to play for the world championship or something like
that. That's a great point. Yeah, that's a great point. It's like, it's like kids that may opt out of playing in a, I know kids may be playing in an American Legion tournament to go play in a showcase or something like that. I mean, kids have options. I mean, and you look at the scenario and it's like, well, it'd be great to play for your Legion team. But, I mean, if you want to play in college, you go to this showcase in Massachusetts where there are scouts and the college scouts or whatever, coaches there. I mean, it's tough and the advent of AAU and the travel teams. I mean, Rich, when you were, back in the day, I mean, there used to be four zones of American Legion baseball.
Right.
I mean, and there were teams and now I think there were 13 teams this year and none south of Waterville. I mean,
wow.
there are no Legion teams in Portland, in southern Maine, no American Legion baseball teams. They're playing travel baseball and traveling all across New England, all across country in some way this day. So, that's really been that's hurt. That's a good point you bring up. That has hurt, that has hurt high school sports. It certainly has.
Well, Larry, it's great to catch up with you, as always, and I mean this with all sincerity, and I say it to Bob Ryan when I see him, too. There's a reason that you have been doing it this long but are still doing it at such a high level, and it's because you've never lost your love of the game, your appreciation for what the young athletes are doing, and that comes through in everything you write.
Well, it's the same with you, Rich. I mean, every game, Rich, is like a one-act play you've never seen before.
You're right.
You never know what you're going to see. Just when you think you've seen everything, look at the, remember the New Hampshire game? Remember the play that extended the overtime?
Right,
Maine
right.
Pulled off with the multiple passes and everything. I mean, that's why you and I are still doing this. I mean, because you go to a game or you talk to an athlete and you never know what you're going to encounter, and so it's refreshing and it keeps your mind fresh. Although like I said, I had a number of head-on collisions I had gaining 1 yard per carry when I played at Bangor High School. In fact, you know who our MVP was our senior year?
No,
the punter, and he missed two weeks because he was in the hospital with dehydration and exhaustion.
All right, Larry, I'm going to leave you with this. It's one of my favorite music trivia questions.
Okay, sure.
Can you name the only vice president to write a song that went to number one on the Billboard charts in the rock and roll era?
Number in the rock and roll era. Let's see, vice president. No, you got to hit me with that one.
That would be Charles Dawes, who was the vice president under Calvin Coolidge, who wrote a melody. Lyrics were later added to it, and it became a number one song in the mid-50s for Tommy Edwards, It's All in the Game.
Oh, okay. Man, I love that. I love that stuff. I mean, we got to do more. I love music trivia. And this is one I when was on your show a long time ago. I mean, who sold out the most concerts or whatever from 68 to 72, and it was Three Dog Night.
Wow.
Or something like that. Had the most hits or something. And a funny thing about Three Dog Night, it may be the only time, it may have happened once or twice. I interviewed them at Loudoun, New Hampshire for a NASCAR race, but I never ended up writing the story.
What was the trivia? Gary Puckett was on the show last year. And
okay,
said, Gary and I, you sold more records than the Beatles did in 1968. And he said, well, in fairness, they also didn't release an album that year. He said, but my publicists like to put that out there. You know, it's a great stat, but it helps that they were busy doing other things.
And did you see him when he was here?
I did. He was great. Still in terrific voice. Yeah.
Still had I saw Dylan, of course, his pipes are shot, but Gary Puckett sounded just as fresh as he did in 1967.
Yeah, no question. Well, Larry, hey, it's great talking with you again. We'll have to do it more often, but in the meantime, I'll see you either at the stadium or at the gym.
Yes, we will. Listen, great talking with you, Rich, and thanks for having me.
You bet. Thanks, Larry. Larry Mahoney, Bangor Daily News, with us here on Downtown 16 before the top of the hour. Still to come, Alan Adams talks movies with us on Pass the Popcorn. The good, the bad, and the ugly, the calendar, the birthday list, and more, all on your Monday downtown.
This is Eric.
And Christine.
From the Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, inviting you to come experience everything that